Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy is the co-author of The Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy. Good morning, Dr. Werpman.
Good morning, and I have to say, I was listening to your discussion, and I agree totally. I had the same response you did, Marshall, when they played Hail to the Chief, when they took the casket out of the hearse, and I had the same feeling. I the hairs at the back of my arms also stood up, and I thought that it's exactly what they should have been doing. It was really a very moving moment, and what bothered me was how few people were even aware that the funeral was going on, you know, watching it, listening to it, because, you know, he may not have been the greatest president, as somebody, one of the eulogists suggested, but he certainly was somebody who made a substantial positive change in our lives, like the Clean Air Act. And it's something that we really should not forget.
He did amazing.
So thank you for saying that.
For a one-term president, he accomplished quite a bit. Just think
enormously.
About that.
Exactly.
And again,
right.
Long view versus short.
Exactly. But anyway, on to something not quite so uplifting, as it were. And thank God, George Bush, President Bush, lived a very, very long life. But something that Jill and I have discussed a little bit earlier this week was that many people are not given that possibility of living such a long life because they're diagnosed with a disease like cancer, certain kinds of cancers that really don't have a very good outcome, even though there have been enormous strides in cancer chemotherapy or other kinds of therapy over the last 5 or 6 years. And one of the things that occurred to me, and again, Jill and I discussed this earlier, was that when you or your family learn that somebody in the family, yourself or somebody else, has cancer, that there's really no rehearsal for what to do. You don't know what is going to happen. You know all the stuff that the oncology department tells you you're going to be going through, you know, the consultations, the MRIs, the CAT scans, you know, the radiation, if that's relevant, or the chemotherapy, or the operation, you know, or even new research protocols that you may be able to enter and have the possibility of you know, at least a remission, if not a cure, that might not have been possible 5 years earlier. But there's so many other aspects to this that, you know, unless you've gone, for God forbid, have gone through it once before, you don't know what to do. And oftentimes, family and friends just are not able to help you go through this. This came to mind because a friend of mine was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, with a terrible diagnostic outcome, you know, pretty advanced. And she's always been one of these incredibly upbeat people, and she laughs, and this is okay, and I'll get through it. And I love having visitors, and all her friends said, wow, you know, she's such in good humor. You know, we're just going to go over and chit-chat about the world events. We don't really have to talk to her about her disease. And then all of a sudden she said, oh, you know, I really like going to chemotherapy. Why? Because I'm surrounded by other people who know exactly what I'm going through, and they tell me their stories, and I tell them my story, and we support each other. And I thought, oh, good grief. We are clearly not supporting this woman at all, not the way the other patients are. And we don't really even know how, because, again, we've had no rehearsal time to deal with this. And then it occurred to me that there are all these other, you know, sort of side problems that come up, ancillary problems that come up, you know, like what do you do about the labyrinth of medical bills, and how do you arrange maybe transportation for radiology every day, or how do you deal with some of the side effects? Because oftentimes your oncologist is not your primary care doctor and really doesn't pay attention to, should I get a flu shot or not? Or, gee, I think I sprained my ankle. Should I do something about it? Because that your oncologist is concerned with your cancer, period. And, you know, I was thinking about how do you get help for people like this? Because, again, the friends and family can't always be relied on. We don't know what to do. And I was thinking about what happens to somebody who's going through something for the first time, and that is pregnancy. You know, until you've had a baby, you don't know what is going to happen. You can read all the books in the world. You don't know what's going to happen. And you don't know what's going to happen after the baby is born either. You know, it's like people sometimes leave the house without getting a babysitter because they forget they have to get one. And for many years, we've had somebody called a doula, D-O-U-L-A, who's sort of a non-medical person who is there, you probably have to pay for her, but is there to sort of help you along the way and deal with you what you have to do, whether, you know, buying diapers ahead of time or what do you do if you can't stop throwing up from morning sickness. And I thought, maybe we can't, oncology departments should have somebody like that, who knows what is going to happen, who knows when to intervene to help you and when, you know, not to, who knows, you know, what, almost like a social worker but without the necessity of that degree. Who do you call? Who do you call for, you know, a hospital bed? You know, who do you call to, you know, get a ride back and forth to the radiology department? Who do you call if you really are having a horrible side effects from the chemotherapy and you haven't eaten for 2 weeks and you're dehydrated? Because oftentimes you can't get that kind of information even from your physician who's very busy, so you almost need somebody to call for you. You know, who to call to help your spouse or to help your children or to figure out, can you go on a vacation? Can you go on a, you know, on an air flight? I mean, these are things that you need somebody experienced to help you with. And so we just,
it would be,
this is the second time around for all of us, we don't know what is going to come down the road.
Right, or what to expect or how to manage it. No, basically a healthcare doula, a health... but specializing in a particular disease, obviously. I mean...
Yes, it could be Parkinson's, it could be Alzheimer's.
Yeah, it could be diabetes. You could have... within this structure, people who specialized, or in a couple, it would just, you know, obviously here on the East Coast, it's so different from the West Coast because you pretty much, this is a generality, but my niece is a doula, you know, and knows many because there is a whole. Almost a movement.
Well, it's interesting you say that, and you're talking about this because a classmate of mine, Lynn Mortarell, just became a doula to serve this area.
And I think that's where, and also it's not even going through the disease itself, but the aftermath. I have a friend who had cancer 3 years ago, and she's still suffering from some of the effects. I mean, she, for example, her taste buds are absolutely gone. She had enormous amounts of radiation, and her skin is very fragile and tends to bleed very easily where she had the radiation. And so she's sort of anemic, and it was only picked up, you know, maybe a year after the effect. And there should have been somebody that she could call. She called the oncologist. Well, she's no longer in the treatment, so that person didn't help. Her primary care didn't really know what to do.
Yeah, no, and that's a really good idea. Anyone who's in the healthcare field understand. hello. Oh, crickets, Judy. But at all events, this is something that should certainly be discussed. So thank you.
Anyway, maybe we said it here first, and who knows, maybe somebody's listening.
Thank you.
And I like that, healthcare doula, because there are so much need for that. And there's so many people who'll be willing to do this. And it could be even somebody who, let's say, is an ex-social worker who's retired from that, and or an ex-nurse, retired nurse who wants to do something like that. It really is a wonderful new career for people.
Yep.
Beyond the pregnancy. And I think there's enormous need.
I think you're absolutely right. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wertman.
Very good. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Food for Mood.
Of course, you can hear Judy every Thursday morning. Right before
what day is it?
This week in Lifeville Journal.